Hello and welcome to my first podcast episode. My name is Jayla and I am here recording this for the greater good of hopefully USC students. So I am actually So I have not come up with a name yet for my podcast, but it will be catchy and it will be representative of me, hopefully. So to start off, the mission of this podcast is to promote wellness. What is wellness? Wellness is a super broad term and, you know, everyone defines it differently, but to me, wellness is having that inner peace and being content. It's contentness almost. Just being okay with where you are in life, being happy with what you're doing, taking good care of yourself, and that would be mentally, physically, spiritually, however you want to define it. So each podcast, there will be about 7 of these, will cover a different and super unique topic that I think is applicable to the general public and especially students, because that is my target audience and that is my area of expertise. So I am actually filming this for my OT class at USC. I'm a second semester freshman here. My major is econ, but I decided to take a class in occupational therapy. It's a 2-credit class and it's called Thrive. I highly recommend this class. It is a super good way to unwind after a long day of harder classes. It's a good way to make friends. The teachers, professors are amazing. They're all certified occupational therapists, so you already know they're amazing with talking, amazing with making connection, making everyone feel included, and bringing up the energy in general. So super fun class, and if you're a student at USC, you should definitely utilize all your credits and make time for this. And it's a very low time commitment outside of class, so that is that. So this is my semester-long project. This is the one thing, the biggest thing that I'll be graded on. And we had full creativity to do whatever interested us. And for me, it was a podcast. Why a podcast? Who wants to listen to you talk? Well, I have watched podcasts for years. I watch a variety of podcasts. So if I'm feeling productive, it'll be like TED Talks or like The Daily by the Washington Post. They have super cool informative ones on, you know, real world topics, things that we should know about. And when I'm not feeling so productive, I listen to fun ones. I listen to fun, girly, fun ones. And there's nothing wrong with that either. Sometimes I need that little spice. And they give really good advice. They give really good advice and they talk about topics that I'm interested in, but I've never had the time or motivation to sit down and think about it. So it sometimes helps to hear other people express their thoughts. And you might not always agree with them. You might not agree with everything I'm going to say in this episode and later episodes, but that's okay. That's a part of the seeing perspectives aspect of podcasts. So today's topic is something super broad, something that almost everyone struggles with, not all, but a lot of people. And even if you don't struggle with it, this might be interesting to just hear and see how other people are feeling about this. And maybe you'll learn something from it, maybe you won't. But I am going to be discussing acne today. Acne, woo, skincare, acne, pimples, prescription medicine, skincare routine, everything in that bubble. I'm going to talk about my experience. I'm going to talk about how I addressed it. I'm going to talk about societal standards, the real world expectations, social media, everything. We're going to try to delve deep in this topic. And this should be easy because this is something I do care a lot about and feel like I know a lot about just from my own experience. But starting off, I just want to tell a story about what it was like for me, and maybe some people can relate to me. So with acne, I started getting acne at the normal age, I'd say, like middle school time, late middle school, I'd say, or maybe around eighth grade. At this time, I had an older brother. What do you mean at this time? I have an older brother, and he's 7 years older, meaning he is a lot smarter than me, a lot more experienced, has been through everything that I have not been through yet. So my brother took the bullet on this one and experienced acne first. My brother had pretty bad cystic acne growing up. It started in middle school as well, but was obviously worse as it progressed and as he got older in high school. High school, I would say, was his peak. Started coming down in college once he, you know, gained more education on it and was proactive about it. But in the beginning, he would tell me, this is from his perspective, it definitely affected his self-esteem. It affected his confidence. He obviously did not look his best, feel his best. And cystic acne is just a lot to deal with. It is definitely detrimental to mental health, especially when you're young and impressionable and eager to compare yourself to others. So my brother had that for years. But luckily for him, he's really smart, and he actually decided to pursue pre-med and go into medical school to become a doctor. And one of the things that actually provoked that was his interest in medicine and acne, which helped him have a reason to look into treatments and medications and over-the-counter drugs. So him being self-sufficient, you know, deep dived into the internet, obviously had doctors as well, and figured out a skincare routine that was working for him. He never had to go on anything intense like Accutane, which he was definitely super lucky about, because I've heard it is awful and the treatment process can happen many times, even though it's supposed to be a one-time treatment. Regardless, he got to avoid that by picking up other medications. So from a young age, from about 8th grade or 7th grade, my brother started getting me skincare for holidays. So for like birthdays and Christmas, without even asking, he just assumes that it would be best for me to incorporate these. And he was not wrong. He started off by getting me just pretty like simple things that anyone could use. For example, face wash. Started telling me to wash my face every night and reminded me to take makeup off, things like that. He also got me sunscreen, and as I started getting more into it, at first it seemed really tedious. I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna remember to do this every night, every morning. Now I have to like devote this like a few minutes, 10 minutes of my day just to do this. Joking, it does not take 10 minutes. It's more like 3 or 4 minutes, but regardless, I felt kind of lazy about it. But once I got in the groove, I was able to, you know, add more fancy things to my routine, like vitamin C, which I've learned is great for dark spots and wrinkles, overall complexion, and also retinol, which is good for acne, and again, dark spots, complexion. So these are just like universally grade A medications, recommended by dermatologists, all of that. I would have never known that if it weren't for my brother, obviously, as a kid, because that's not where my priorities laid. But luckily, because of him, I was exposed to that and learned about it and was able to not only use it on myself, but like talk to my friends about it and help them with certain things that they could incorporate if they were starting to see issues with their skin. So pretty early on, I basically had this routine set before I started getting real acne, which I'm really grateful for because I don't even want to know what my acne could have been if I started the treatments much later. But that is something that I started in middle school. And then I'd say around eighth grade or freshman year is when I really started to get acne. And my acne was never cystic level. It was never super detrimental to my mental health. And I think for my whole life, I've always kind of sugarcoated my acne experience and talked about it in a very positive tone as if, you know, it was never a big deal for me. And I've always had pretty good skin, which is true. But I think in this episode, I really want to delve into the imperfections of my skin and my journey and things I did have to experience and learn from, just in hopes of spreading awareness and hopefully tying this back to wellness and how acne can affect our mental health and overall confidence, because it definitely does. So once I started getting acne, like a normal teenager, preteen does, it was very splotchy. So I would get one here and there. But for me, when I would get a pimple, it would be big and it would be noticeable. And this was the worst part. It wasn't just like little bumps on my skin or like blemishes, blackheads. It was like big, noticeable whiteheads that were like painful and often on like really, really random and like visible parts of my face. Like I remember vividly having multiple pimples beginning of high school that were literally directly on the tip of my nose. I kid you not, like it would be huge on the tip of my nose, unavoidable. Like you are stuck with that. And those ones would last almost a week. So those were not very fun. But during this time, as I started getting acne for the first time and not knowing too much about it yet, it was super, super easy for me to compare myself to friends, especially other girls. Because I think there is a bigger emphasis on girls having clear skin or pretty skin, just like how girls are more socially expected or known for wearing makeup and covering up skin or enhancing skin, whereas guys, I think, although acne is not desirable, it's not something that is usually covered up. So I think that does make it a little difficult being a young girl who's, you know, again, impressionable. And I think the biggest thing is comparing yourself with girls who have clear skin, because I think we've all had that one friend at one point in our lives or another that has perfect skin, like glass skin, beautiful baby bottom skin, and they don't even wash their face with face wash. They're just like, I'll see them and I'm like, wow, like my best friend has beautiful skin, so pretty, what do you do, how do you do it? And they say they just wash their skin with water. Like, what do you mean skincare routine? I just rinse my face when I shower. Like, it is so difficult to see people like that when I was over there, you know, not even a freshman in high school yet, with a multi-step skin routine just to break out much worse than they were. This is another thing when you have those friends who have perfect skin, and then as soon as they get a really small pimple or blackhead, really small blemish, they're like, I cannot go out anymore, I feel so ugly, like no one can see me. I feel gross, things like comments like that, not to invalidate people's feelings. Because yes, you can feel insecure from one pimple. I literally just talked about it. But it's also important to know and acknowledge how it can make other people feel when it's super subliminal, especially if you're overreacting, or you're being a little bit dramatic and you actually would go out and want to go out, but you're saying like, oh, I cannot go out anymore, like it's too much. So I think that's definitely something to look out for. But again, you are entitled to feel however you want. It just has the ability to perpetuate insecurities in others. Also, about the pimple problem I had beginning of high school and middle school, I also vividly remember boys specifically, not because I cared more about what boys thought, but because boys were just typically more blunt at this age, is what I'll say. But boys who were also my friends would just point out and think they're joking and, like, you know, we're just playfully teasing each other, but would make fun of my acne or like pimples if I ever got, you know, one of the ginormous ones. And it just made me want to literally shrink in a shell. And it's like hard to want to look at people. Like, it's like harder to look at people in the eyes for me and like hold a conversation and feel confident and want to be seen when you feel like there's this huge thing on your face that's super distracting or gross. And it kind of feels like a weight weighing on your shoulders. Like, for a few days when I have bad pimples, I would try to avoid talking to people, which is just super clearly not good for your mental health, clearly not good for your happiness. And if you realize it's getting to that point, it's something you really, I encourage you to acknowledge and express your feelings to, whether it's talking to a friend about it, talking to family about it, talking to your therapist about it if you have one. And if you don't want to talk to anyone about it, that's perfectly fine too. Journal about it. That's a big thing I did when there was big obstacles in my life. Just like a little brain dump. Talk about how you feel about something. Eventually, it'll help you come to terms with it. And of course, be proactive about it, which I'll get to a bit later. Because just because you have acne does not mean you shouldn't be proactive or want to try to heal it. Another thing that made it a little difficult when I was younger was seeing how my mom had really perfect skin and seeing pictures of her when she was younger and always noticing her really perfect skin. I think a big thing with that might be, you know, a little specific to me. I'm half Chinese and my mom is Chinese fully. I think there's definitely a stereotype within society that surrounds Asians having perfect skin, or just like really seamless, fair skin that just looks picture perfect. And especially Asian beauty standards, they're super tough on that. Acne is just like very, it's looked down upon, and it is not something that you want to have. And so I definitely compared myself to my mom when she was that age, and, you know, kind of wondered why her skin was perfect, but me and my brother were having all these issues and had to do all of these tedious routines and medications that, you know, she never had encountered. And my mom didn't really get that. I love my mom. She's the best woman ever. But she also would sometimes perpetuate those insecurities and, you know, point out when I had acne and say, oh, it's okay. Like, it's you're just a teen, you know, this happens. But although she means no harm, even pointing things out like that can make people feel very insecure once again, because it's like you don't want to be seen in that way. You don't want people to look at you and the first thing they see is a big pimple or a lot of big pimples. It's just not the best for confidence. But I remember, like, because of all of these events, all of these things that were happening and experiences, I really tried making a change with my routine and how I went about taking care of my skin. I made some lifestyle changes. For instance, I remember beginning of high school, never touching my face anymore. Like, I would, in class a lot, like, used to, you know, rest my, like, chin on my hand a lot. Just, like, when I would be sleepy, like, that was, like, my go-to. But I would never let myself do that anymore. I would never touch my eyes, touch my eyebrows, without literally scrubbing my hands. And I don't think this is a bad habit. This is, might seem very normal, or if anything, necessary for the general public, but like I wasn't doing it out of health or like safety reasons. It was more of my appearance and my acne. So I was pretty disciplined in never touching my face and only doing so directly after washing my hands. Something else I did that was really funny is something I saw on social media, but silk pillowcases. I switched over to those in high school because I heard that, I mean, not only are they good for your hair, but they're supposedly better for your skin. 'Cause silk is more breathable and less irritating than some other materials like cotton. So silk pillowcases, necessity. There you go. Another thing that wasn't so positive that were changes that I made was that over COVID, when masks were a thing, I almost felt relieved that I had to wear a mask, not because I didn't, you know, feel pretty or anything like that. It was because of my acne, and not every day, but on days when I had bad acne or bigger pimples, I would be happy to, you know, wear a mask and literally cover that so that I did not have to worry about that taking away from how I looked or my confidence. And it was something that, you know, I appreciated. It allowed me to blend in more. Another thing was sleepovers. Sleepovers were a little more difficult because I remembered having to pack my huge bag of toiletries, my two different face washes, my four-step, five-step skincare routine, and no matter how late it was or what activity my friends and I were doing when we were hanging out, I would force myself to get up and do all of it, just so that I didn't break out the next morning. 'Cause I swear there's like a reoccurring theme when I don't wash my face and do my skincare routine for literally one night, I'm like bound to wake up with a pimple, which is super unfortunate, but it is what it is. So I would do that. Another thing, not so great, started more, I'd say, sophomore, junior, senior year of high school, so a little bit older, I really utilized makeup and kind of started depending on my makeup when I wasn't feeling good about my skin. So I'd say by junior year, I was really accustomed to wearing basically a full face every day, and full face as in foundation, full coverage. I really did not like having any acne or uneven skin tones, which a lot of these medications I was taking caused me to have uneven skin tones and like perpetuated redness and really threw off my natural complexion. So my insecurities also shifted more towards that later in high school, but I'll get to that. I basically started using foundation every day to feel prettier and feel more confident about my skin and my face, even though I honestly hate the feeling of foundation. Like, makeup in general is okay, but there's something about having thick, like, foundation on your face and on your whole face that would literally come off if I touched my cheek, you know what I mean? Or stain my clothes if I rubbed it the wrong way, that I just am not really comfortable with. But it became something that I started doing every day. I still do most days, but I will say I feel a lot better about myself now if I don't. But I will probably touch on that more later when I talk about, you know, my more current situation. But another, finally, we were making progress, right? So because I realized that this was an issue and I was getting more into my mid-high school years, my brother, who was in med school finally at the time, was super interested in dermatology. And so he did a lot of research on good over-the-counter and prescription medications. He found ones with like the least amount of side effects, the most accessible, the cheapest options. So he was actually able to give me his prescription medications. This sounds kind of weird maybe, but instead of me just going to the doctor myself, he would give me his extra prescription medications for acne. He would do this specifically with tretinoin. You might have heard of tretinoin, but if you haven't, it's just a super strong, concentrated acne medication, and mine's in the form of a cream. You apply like very small amounts to your face every night after showering and washing your face, and it is really, really good for keeping acne and pimples away. So I started off with his lower percentage, and in that time, he basically taught me how acne is treatable. And he always preached about wishing more preteens and teens and adults in general just knew how treatable acne is, and that you don't have to suffer and you should seek medical help and advice from your doctor. Although it may be a struggle for some people, I'm not saying it would be an easy process, especially if you have to go on something like Accutane. But it is definitely worth looking into, and not just, oh, it's a natural thing for teens, like, let it happen. That's not true, and it can be helped. And aside from acne, your skin can be helped in many other ways, including wrinkles, dark spots, complexion, like I was talking about earlier, and also sunscreen. Like, please, if there's one thing you do with your face, it needs to be sunscreen. Sunscreen is probably the best thing to ensure healthy aging. It is cancer preventative and keeps the wrinkles away in the best way. It also prevents sunspots and helps, of course, with wrinkles. Fine aging. So if you want to age fine, like fine wine, please use sunscreen every day. And not only every day, but emphasis on reapplying it. This has been the hardest thing for me, like remembering that one time in the morning is usually not enough, and that after a few hours it's important to reapply sunscreen or else it has disintegrated. So pro tip for girls or anyone out there that wear makeup and don't want to rub sunscreen into their face midway through the day, which is completely understandable because I felt that way as well. there is such thing as spray sunscreen for your face and powder sunscreen. So this helps if you're also oily or just have like a glossy makeup finish. Powder sunscreen comes in a little brush and you can just, you know, dabble it on your face and you're good to go. You're protected. So yeah, aside from using his medication like tretinoin, he also taught me about foods that affect acne. There are definitely certain foods out there, and this may vary for people, but in general, dairy and sweets are the two biggest culprits of worsening acne. So even if you're not lactose intolerant or anything like that, dairy and sweets worsen acne. They provoke acne, and they are some things that you should avoid if you have acne and you're wanting it to clear, because those can sometimes make it worse or make your acne come back. So I started watching out for those. Obviously, sweets is a good thing in general for your health, but that's something that I definitely, you know, watched. And if I did have bad acne or was feeling, you know, particularly bad about my skin, I would just regulate it. So that is some advice for you guys. Eventually, I would say it wasn't until my senior year of high school, after years of using my brother's prescription medication, which, do not quote me on, I don't know if that's allowed, but I finally made my own appointment. It was just my physical, yearly physical, but I mentioned acne to my doctor and basically told them I want tretinoin for myself and that I think it would help with my acne. I actually admitted to him that I've been using my brother's, and he honestly was unfazed, seemed to be fine with it. But I did ask that we increase my percentage, because I was used to using my brother's percentage, but I did want to increase it, because you can do that after about 6 months. I think 6 months is tretinoin's, you know, maximum efficiency, effectancy. There you go. So if it's still a problem in 6 months, you can up your dosage and see how it affects your skin then. So I finally got my own. Woohoo! Jayla's taking accountability. So that was great for me. Overall, I would say my acne slightly improved. Instead of getting big pimples, you know, every week, it's now died down to maybe once a month, which I'm super grateful for. Still jealous of the people who never get big pimples, but what can I do? I did, however, have worse skin discoloration. And by that, I mean my red undertones were really, really emphasized because of the tretinoin and the benzoyl peroxide and other pretty harsh chemicals I was using on my face. I just saw a lot of redness in spots that, you know, I never had redness in before. Pretty much all over my cheeks, my chin, my nose, by my eyebrows. I hope you can envision this. Basically, my whole face is a lot more red than it used to be. And that's just, again, because these chemicals can be very drying. But that's why it's important to, you know, moisturize afterwards and make sure your skin isn't feeling too overdone. If your skin starts to burn or anything like that, obviously not a good sign. You're probably using too much product or leaving it on for too long. But skin discoloration, that's the main reason today why I use things like foundation, just because I like when it's more cohesive. I can go without it, of course. I really don't mind, but if I'm feeling, you know, like I really want to look good today, I will definitely never fail to use foundation, my trusty makeup partner. I also actually just learned I like pimple patches. I learned about them in high school, but I never got them, which I don't know why, because that would have been a huge lifesaver for when I had big pimples that were just in absurd spots. But in college, I think it's super common that people wear them. I started seeing a lot of my friends wear them, and they're sold literally anywhere, Target, Amazon. So, and the way they market them is actually so cute. I'm like going on a tangent right now, but they come in so many cute shapes and colors. Like, I have heart ones right now that I'm obsessed with, and I know the star ones are super, super popular. So now I just feel like I'm decorating myself, and I'm putting little cute stickers rather than, you know, something that I'm insecure about or trying to hide. Like, no one is questioning my acne anymore. They're just looking at how cute the heart on my face is. So that is something I've started using. Overall, I just want people to know and understand that it is okay to want to heal your face or improve your skin in some way. Again, it is treatable and you should seek help if it is affecting your confidence. But it is not okay to resent yourself for it or make comparisons to other people. Clearly, it's not okay because acne is out of your control. It is normal. It happens to the best of us. It'll change. You'll go through different phases with acne as you get older. And making comparisons with other people is just never effective. And this goes for literally any aspect of life, whether it be physical or not. Another big thing to consider is social media. When we talk about acne, social media has been so advanced, especially within this past decade, that a lot of young girls are growing up in a world full of models and makeup and filters and Photoshop. And that's okay. That's natural. That's just how technology is evolving. That's how society is evolving. But it is important to recognize and spread awareness on this because it is not always realistic. Societal standards are not always the reality of things. There are countless celebrities who openly admit to not only having, you know, professional makeup artists work done on their face, like procedures, high-end makeup and skincare products, and also have access to what we all have access to, which is Facetune and editing apps, which again enhances the way we look and allows us to literally curate how we want to look, which again is not natural or realistic all the time. So this is especially for younger people or people who, you know, think social media is toxic. It really can be. This is why I really, really admire influencers and celebrities who keep it real in this day and age. You know, people who are openly publishing things of themselves where they don't look their best. And I'm not saying that anyone has to. People don't have to share themselves with the world, but it is very admirable when they do, in hopes of, you know, letting these girls know that they are the same and everything, things like acne are natural. People like Emma Chamberlain and Alex Earle. These are just a couple like younger generation influencers who to me seem very transparent with themselves. They both are actually podcast hosts of their own solo podcast and super often film, you know, without any makeup on, with sweats on, with their hair messed up or in a bun. And I think that's just a really cool side of celebrities to see, and the reality of it. Like, they're not always in their best glam, and that's okay. They are still beautiful, and people still admire for them for it, if not admire them more because of it. So I think in the end, I really learned that having insecurities is okay, of course, but being able to normalize it and see it for what it is, a normal thing that people experience that should not prevent you from going out or taking pictures with your friends or talking to people, because that was a big barrier. And that, again, is a phase. It really is, as long as you are trying to improve and seeking some help and staying consistent to, you know, washing your face, taking your makeup off, basic things like that, it will get better and it will change and it will not be the end of the world. One more tip I'm going to leave you guys with is the obvious, but something I literally did not do until end of high school, but drink a lot of water. Like, water over everything. If you don't like water right now, this is your time to start liking it. Okay, coming from someone, this is gonna sound really weird and disturbing for some people, but coming from someone who used to drink 3 glasses of whole milk every single day as a child to now drinking bottles and bottles of water was a huge transition. Not only did I claim to not like water that much when I was younger, I just did not drink it. I literally would go days without drinking water. I literally don't know how my body functioned. I don't know how I wasn't in a constant migraine state. But if you have a hard time drinking water, my biggest pro tip is get a nice water bottle. Like, invest in a nice water bottle that will keep your water cold, if that's what you prefer, or it doesn't even have to be cold. Get a water bottle that can regulate temperature so that it can stabilize your preferred temperature of water, whether that be cold or room temperature or warm. I'm judging you, honestly, if it's anything other than cold, but that's fine. It doesn't matter. Water is water. So definitely do that. I have invested in multiple water bottles throughout the years. Cute ones, practical ones. My personal favorite right now is the Owala. I'm obsessed with it. I have a really cute pink one, and I'm obsessed with it because it's multi-use. It has a built-in straw, but the straw has a lid that closes and it snaps open, so the straw, you know, stays clean and isn't in the way of everything like Stanley Cup straws are. But it also can be just tipped up like a normal water bottle and drink that way. So that's my biggest thing. Drink water if you don't already. Aim for the daily amount. The daily amount is kind of a lot. It can be hard, but the more you drink water, the more you'll like it. I now am obsessed with water and cannot go an hour without chugging my water bottle. So I'd say that's character development, if nothing else in this episode was. Last big thing I want to touch on that can impact acne, that shouldn't be overlooked, is just standard factors such as race, and socioeconomic status. So things like this and your privilege can obviously reflect the access to resources you have, access to expensive products, the amount of products, being able to restock and use them daily, access to doctors, dermatologists. This is all very real and should be acknowledged. So first thing I want to say about this is you do not need to see a dermatologist unless it is, you know, cystic acne, because you can't just watch, you know, get some advice and solve your problems. But I will say, if acne is more of a trivial issue for you, but you still want to learn more about it and take care of yourself, I would just recommend watching dermatologists on YouTube or on TikTok or on any platform that they promote on. Obviously, make sure they're credible sources, but usually when they are doctors, they know what they're talking about. So I think it's fair to use that as a source of little tips here and there, and just hear people, professionals, talk about it and talk about what they suggest and recommend. Another thing that my brother really emphasized to me when I was younger is that expensive products do not equate to better products. And by this, I mean, just because it is strawberry chocolate flavored in a really nice glass bottle sold at Sephora does not mean it'll be better than the CeraVe at the Target. And I say this knowing that the active ingredients, as long as they're in the product, they will be effective. Things like benzoyl peroxide and retinol are not enhanced when they're in expensive, good-smelling products that are colorful, right? Like, essentially, you're paying for the same chemicals, and you do not need to feel obligated or insecure to invest in these high-end products that are maybe trending if you don't want to. I think a lot of dermatologists actually do use the more low-key products, because those can also be more natural than the ones with fragrances and colors and whatever else you can think of. So there's definitely that. Overall, I hope that if you're still listening to this, you do not beat yourself up over having acne, and at least feel somewhat better or comforted knowing that this is a universal thing and that there are solutions and that it's not permanent and that you are still beautiful. I think gaining knowledge on the topic can definitely help. So I hope I shed some during this talk, but obviously there's way more resources out there from way more qualified people. So if any of this interests you, please fact check me. Please look into it. This is still a journey that I'm on. I don't know everything, but I can say I'm at a much better place with myself, and not mainly because my skin actually drastically improved from high school or middle school, but more of because I've accepted it and embraced it and seen it as a neutral thing rather than something that is detrimental to my appearance or confidence. So just try to remember that and surround yourself with friends if you can that are supportive and, you know, mature about things like that. Not people who would point out your flaws or insecurities, and this goes for literally anything, not just acne. So yeah, please do that. And whoever is listening, I'm wishing you a clear skin for the next month. You're welcome. I will talk to you guys next week. Thank you for listening. Bye.